Experience, Ellen G. White. Genuine or False, and Its Bearing on Invalids. Number 2. The Lord surrounded Adam and Eve in paradise with everything that was useful and lovely. God planted for them a beautiful garden. No herb, nor flower, nor tree was wanting, which might be for use and ornament. The Creator of man knew that this workmanship of his hands could not be happy without employment. Paradise delighted their souls, but this was not enough. They must have labor to call into exercise the organs of the body. The Lord had made them for use. If happiness consisted in doing nothing, man, in his state of holy innocence, would have been left unemployed. But he who formed man knew what would be for his best happiness, and he no sooner made him than he gave him his appointed work. In order to be happy, he must labor. Those girls who shun care in their youth and are not disposed to bear burdens will not be qualified for useful wives and for the responsible position of mothers. They will surely disappoint the men who marry them. Those who are inclined to lean upon others rather than to depend upon their God-given powers are useless, so far as practical life is concerned. Had they in youth been disciplined to self-reliance and self-control, they would have had noble independence when they came upon the stage of action. How can anyone say they have nothing to do in this world of want, sickness, disappointment, discouragement, and despair? Are there no hearts to bless with deeds of charity? No woes and griefs to share and to soothe by words of sympathy and tender, holy cheer? The mind engaged in this good work will be invigorated. Feelings for others' woes will divert the mind from repining and lead to the forgetfulness of real suffering. A cheerful temper and a hopeful mind will do much to cure the real diseases of the system, for a cheerful heart vitalizes and imparts health to the entire system. Nothing to do should be regarded as a dreaded curse. Those who can eat regularly and heartily and who have the use of their limbs should not feel excused from useful labor. Many eat regularly but are constantly complaining of indisposition and languor. Such need the advantages that regular employment gives, which will interest and engage the mind. By remaining inactive, they will have torpid liver, which obstructs the circulation of the blood. Those who are on the sick list and yet indulge the appetite in eating liberally while they neglect exercise, do great injury to themselves. They take more food into the stomach than the system can dispose of and convert into good blood while they remain inactive, and the vital forces are taxed to a much greater degree than if they were engaged in earnest labor. The brain nerve power is unduly taxed by being called to share the labor of the burdened stomach. The inclination of some to neglect proper exercise, even when they feel indisposed, imposes a tax upon some organs, while others become feeble from inaction. The system becomes obstructed with waste matter, which it is impossible to throw off, and paralysis is frequently the result. Physical exercise is very essential for the healthful vigor of the organs of the body. Cheerful employment will, in many cases, prove more beneficial in the recovery of health than to be treated at a water cure, while the patient continues the same indolent habits which made him so feeble as to need treatment. Those who once really awaken to individual responsibility and realize the blessings which result from having a purpose and aim in life will find enough to do and cannot be induced, while they live, to be satisfied to simply eat and breathe and do nothing to make their lives a blessing to others. They will then dread indolence worse than disease. Those who can see nothing to live for, whose lives are aimless, and who move about mechanically, feel that labor is a burden. They lack spirit and energy. They cannot, while they feel thus, realize the healthful vigor exercise gives, and are inclined to have all their powers lost, so far as practical purposes are concerned, in dullness and leaden insensibility. The heavy torpor they experience could be overcome if the mind cure could reach them. They need the heart enlivened by the healthful vigor of exercise. Spare diet, having perfect control of the appetite, calling to the aid the willpower, and engaging in healthful labor, will indeed electrify the nerve power to resist disease, which is often brought on and cherished by indolence and fashionable laziness. Christians should feel that they have no right to be anything but, well, so far as lies in their power. For the health of the body has a direct bearing on the religious character. Weakness and lassitude, which come in consequence of overtaxation of any of the organs, or as the result of inaction of some or all of the organs, affect seriously the soul. Peevishness and selfishness take the place of cheerful, hopeful, religious faith. The higher qualities of the mind are dimmed, and strong impulses control the entire being instead of calm reason and sanctified judgment. Riding out in the open air is beneficial so far as it goes, for it is much better to be in the sunshine than to be enclosed in walls, deprived of the vitalizing air of heaven. Riding exercise is especially necessary for very feeble invalids and persons who are crippled or infirm from age and who cannot engage in active exercise in walking or working. But many who have the use of their muscles and limbs frequently allow their exercise to consist principally in riding. They depend upon the horse and carriage to go even a short distance, because they think they will become weary if they make the effort to exercise by walking. Here, many deprive themselves of real benefit to their injury. The powers of motion they exercise in getting in and out of a carriage, and in going up and down stairs, could just as well be exercised in walking and in performing the ordinary and necessary duties of life. Some will endure great taxation in riding almost any distance, but think they have not sufficient strength to engage in domestic duties. Their difficulty consists more in their imagination than in their inability to perform. They have strength that, if put to practical use, would accomplish much good and make the members of the family more happy. Such do not come up to the point of physical strength it is their privilege, because they do not act on their part. God has given us a work to do which He does not propose to do for us. We should move from principle, in harmony with natural law, irrespective of feeling. Many will not be able to do this all at once, but they can work to the point gradually, in faith, believing that God will be their helper and will strengthen them to perform. The knowledge obtained by experience that they can do some good will give increased strength, courage, and vigor. Exercise, in order to be of decided advantage, should be systematized and brought to bear upon debilitated organs that they may become strengthened by use. The movement cure is a great advantage to a class of patients who are too feeble to exercise. But for all who are sick to rely upon it, making it their dependence, while they neglect to exercise their muscles themselves, is a great mistake. Thousands are sick and dying around us who might get well and live if they would. But their imagination holds them, fearing they shall be made worse if they labor or exercise, when this is just the change they need to make them well. Without this, they never can improve. They should exercise the power of the will and rise above their aches and debility, engage in useful employment, and forget they have aching backs, sides, lungs, and head. Want of exercise of the entire system, or neglecting to exercise a portion of the body, will bring on morbid conditions. Inaction of any of the organs will be followed by decrease of size and strength of the muscles, and cause the blood to flow sluggishly through the blood vessels. Those who are feeble and indolent should not yield to inclination to be inactive and deprive themselves of air and sunlight, but should practice exercising out of doors, in walking or working in the garden. They will, without doubt, become very much fatigued, but this will not hurt them. They will experience weariness, yet this will not injure them, but rest will be the sweeter after it. Inaction weakens the organs, and when the muscles that have been idle are used, pain and weariness are experienced because they have become feeble. It is not good policy to give up the use of certain muscles because pain is felt when they are exercised. The pain is frequently caused by the effort of nature to give life and vigor to those parts that have become partially lifeless through inaction. The motion of these long disused muscles will cause pain because nature is awakening them to life. Walking, in all cases where it is possible, is the best exercise, because in walking, all the muscles are brought into action. Many who depend upon the movement cure could, by exercise, accomplish more for themselves than the movements can do for them. There is no exercise that can take the place of walking. Want of exercise causes the bowels to become enfeebled and shrunken. Exercise will strengthen these organs that have become enfeebled for want of use. The circulation of the blood is greatly improved by the act of walking. The active use of the limbs will be of the greatest advantage to invalids. God has given us all something to do. In the discharge of the various duties which we are to perform, which lie in our pathway, we shall be happy, and our lives be useful. We shall not only be gaining physical strength by exercise, but the mind will be acquiring strength. The exercise of one set of muscles, while others are left with nothing to do, will not strengthen the inactive ones any more than the use of one of the organs of the mind, if continually exercised, will develop and strengthen those not brought into use. Each faculty of the mind and each muscle have their distinctive office, and all require to be equally exercised in order to become properly developed and retain healthful vigor. Each organ and muscle has its work to do in the living organism. Every wheel in the machinery must be an active, working wheel. Nature's fine and wonderful works need to be kept in active motion. All the faculties have a bearing upon each other, and all need to be exercised in order to be properly developed. If one muscle is exercised more than another, the one used will become much the larger and injure the harmony of the system. A variety of exercise will call into use all the muscles and aid in their perfect development, all having equal strength to perform the distinctive work for which God designed them. Then can we comply with the exhortation of the inspired apostle, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service."